famous Phil Henry show. Let me see. Yeah, no problem. I'll take a look tomorrow. I'm guessing you just need to hit the cancel job red button and try again. Okay.
What?
I'm trying to get this stinking rotten brother. I hit job cancel, man. It ain't doing anything. You know? No, that ain't getting it done, man. So I'm going on day three now. I can't use this printer, even though it got fixed, even though somebody came in. Oh, it's working fine for me. Well, that's great. Let me explain how life works. If it's working fine for you, then you got to make it work for me, too, because I'm the guy that's using it. Well, what? Does it work for them? It works for them, the cats that came in and fixed it. It ain't working for me, the guy that uses it for the show. So what happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. I blew its mind. Instead of printing something letter size, I asked for something legal size. Well, hell, that just, that was like asking for the moon. And the brother printer, which we hadn't had a problem with up until that point, now the thing is locked. It won't do a damn thing. And so I asked the guys to come in, would you take a look at the printer, please? And they go, yeah, sure, Phil. They come in. Yeah, it's working fine for us. We printed a whole bunch of stuff. Well, that's great. Would you mind, before you leave, resetting the printer to those settings so that everybody can have it done that way? I'm hitting job cancel. Nope, not the case at all. So I'm going to write something here and move on with the show.
Well, Phil, the audience is waiting for the show.
They can wait another 5 seconds. Because I'm going to write here, nope, day three, no printer. So if the goddamn thing, excuse my French, is working, then it's supposed to be working for me too, not just for the individuals that decided that they would fix it, and life is a beautiful thing.
Boy, you really get bent out of shape, don't you?
Yeah, I get bent out of shape. You crazy? All right, there's a story here that was in need of some airing, if I may use that word. I think airing is a good word. It's this guy by the name of Grimm. Not the Brothers Grimm, not Grimm's Fairy Tales, not Grimm and Barrett, or whatever you want to call it. Now, this guy is Representative Grimm, and he looks like a real Grimm customer, too. And this cat apparently got upset with a reporter on Capitol Hill. And the reporter on Capitol Hill was asking him about a rather touchy situation, a rather touchy news story, to which the representative, Grimm, retorted, I'm going to throw you off this balcony. I'm going to break you in half and throw you off this balcony. Now, the whole story goes something like this.
Yeah, what happened was...
Wait a minute, Bud. Who told you you could do it?
Well, I said Bud could pick up and... I'm sorry, I forgot to mention it to you.
Yeah, Margaret did.
Well, you got it. This is what I mean. Why is there no communication around here?
Phil, you looked like you were preoccupied with the printer, so we made the executive decision.
Oh, I was preoccupied with the printer, so you guys decided that Bud's going to do this story.
Well, we would have asked you had you been available, but you weren't.
This is what I mean. You guys, nobody's talking to me.
Well, you might as well let him do it.
No, I might as well let him do it.
I got it all figured out here. This guy, Michael Grimm, see, he got really angry at a guy, said he's going to throw the guy off the roof. And anyway...
Didn't say anything about throwing a guy off the roof. He said he's going to break a guy in half.
I think it was the roof.
No, I'm looking at, I'll break you in half like a boy.
Well...
Doesn't that sound like break you in half?
Yeah, but he also said the roof.
He said...
Just let him do the story.
Go ahead, Bud.
All right, the guy's name is Grimm, and he got mad... And when President Obama State of the Union, and he said he's going to throw the guy into the street or something, he said, I'm going to throw this place into the street. I'm Bud Dickman.
No, he didn't. What kind of report is that?
Phil, you were busy with the printer, and we did the best we could.
Why not just assume that I'm going to do the story?
You didn't look like you were in any shape to do a story. I was going to give it to Robert, and Robert said he didn't want to touch it. He wouldn't touch it with your lips. So...
Yeah, but I didn't want to go near that story.
Yeah, so I decided I'd do it.
And what did you say this guy said?
He said he'd throw this place into the street.
He said he'd throw this place into the street.
What's so funny?
Every one of you guys, ever since I quoted that movie with Jack Nicholson, man, you love that quote, don't you?
Well, it's very descriptive.
Yeah. Representative Michael Grimm of New York got very, very mad at a reporter following President Obama's State of the Union address on Tuesday night. How mad? Mad enough to physically threaten the NY1 cable news journalist Michael Scotto. Now, NY1 is New York's Channel 1. It's a New York news channel. It's really a terrific channel. It is like a 24-hour news channel for the city of New York. Why, of course, that and they apparently have got budget to send a guy all the way down to Washington, D.C. That's pretty cool.
Well, why doesn't Los Angeles have something like that or some of the other large cities?
L.A.'s got one thing called, they've got these raw feeds. They've got Channel 4 raw, they got Channel 7 raw. But the New York Channel 1 is a slick, beautiful thing. You know, it's a very well-produced cable news outlet. The Channel 4 Raw, all that crap is, I shouldn't say crap, but it looks like it's something, it's like they turned it over to the college students, say, here, take that and you can do what you want with it.
Well, they should do it, they should do it gooder, not gooder, I'm hanging around him too long.
Yeah, do it gooder.
They should do it better.
Yeah, Channel 4, did you hear that? Do it better. All right, there, I just made, if you happy now?
Yeah, that's fine.
So anyway, Grimm was initially, I'll break you in half, says this guy Grimm, like a boy. Representative Grimm told Mr. Scotto after the latter asked him about a federal investigation into his campaign finances. Now, Grimm was initially unrepentant Wednesday morning. He said that he was doing Scotto a favor by agreeing to be interviewed about Mr. Obama's speech and that to ask him about the federal investigation as part of that interview was a cheap shot. And I suppose that has been expressed before. You often heard politicians and others say, you were going to ask me about this and you asked me about that. How dare you, you lowlife?
Yes, well, I think there is some validity to that. As a reporter, I will tell you that I take every opportunity to ask people about these things because I think it is important. To give an example, I was talking to Susan Waterby, who was the councilwoman of the city I won't mention, but she was under investigation for some kind of expenditure to Mexico for herself and her husband and a boyfriend. However, I asked her, could I please have the interview? I know you've redecorated your home. You're going to have a fundraiser here for, I think it was one of the presidential candidates, I don't know who. I think it was a liberal. I think it wasn't Mitt Romney, he's not a liberal.
No, I should say not.
Then it wasn't Obama. It was Jerry Brown, I think it was. So she said, well, come in and do the interview with me about my home.
You gonna talk about this guy Grimm or what?
Would you shut your hole, bud?
Be quiet, bud, while we're talking.
Okay.
Oh, well, thank you very much, bud, for allowing me to speak.
Well, you're going on and on and on and on and on and on and on. You know, and it's never going to end. There won't be no never end to it.
Hey, bud, just ease back, man.
Come on, bud. Now, don't be like a fly on a cow's ass. Sooner or later, the tail will catch up to you, swat you against that cow, and you'll be stomped into all that cow dung.
Yeah.
Thank you, General.
You're welcome.
So,
Yeah, so I said, can I have the interview? And she said, yes, come into my home. We'll interview. You'll talk to me about the interior decoration. I said, yes. And I said, now, Susan, these are lovely pillows. That's a great rug. But I do want to talk about Ensenada. And I want to talk about the date rape drug that was found in your luggage. And she got up with a huff and she goes, how dare you? And flounces off. And when I say flounce, I think the ladies know what I mean. She's giving the ass shake, a little extra accentuation. What that means is, I ostensibly don't want to be asked about this, but I sort of do. So I followed her into the ladies' room. That's where she was going. And she's sitting on the toilet, reaching for toilet paper, and says to me, all right, if you want the interview, you've got it. But let's talk elsewhere after this. I said, okay.
And that worked, huh?
That worked.
Well, that was...
Ms. Gray, you say to me that you went to interview this lady about the interior decoration of her home.
Yes.
And when you did, and then you asked about Mexico.
Yes.
She flounced off. You followed in the bathroom. She's sitting on the toilet and said, yeah, I'll do it.
Yes. So, in other words, she wanted to know, was I serious? Was I going to be talking? Did I really want to talk about this? And to test me, she had me follow her into the toilet. You know.
Yeah.
If I could, to see if I could take it.
Oh, she was testing to see if you could stand it.
Yes.
I...
Oh, okay, Phil, so you don't believe it.
No, I believe you, if that's what you're saying. Yes, of course, I believe you, but I'm that's the weirdest story I've ever heard, and I don't even know if that has to do with anything that we're talking about. That's how scared I am of what you just said. All right, we'll take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and be back with, we'll get back to this grim story, whether Bud's doing it, whether Margaret's doing it, or whether I'm going to do it, or whether we just get, somebody else to do it. I know that standing by, we do have Raj Fanin on another topic, but we will we'll be back in any event here on the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Don't forget that at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass, you can watch a video cast of our show every night. You can listen for free online to the audio of the show, and you can also listen on TuneIn on the Phil Henry Channel on TuneIn for free. Yes, the Phil Henry Show returning here as we continue our exploration into the unknown, to the inner sanctum, to the mind meld of news and talk and you. This is the Phil Henry Show. Now,
And all of that was to buy time while you were doing what?
As I'm looking at this cheap crap printer. All right.
Would you give it up with the printer, for God's sake?
I'm giving it up with the printer. But I'm going to tell you something. 5 seconds tops, no go. So, you know, this gets back to the discussion I was having with my close personal friend, Nikki, earlier. You know, one of the things is there's no reason to do this show live. Absolutely no reason to do this radio show live. There's no reason to do any radio show live.
Why do you say that?
Because we don't need to do it live. What are we talking about? What do I talk about? This show is basically satire. This is a satire, and I don't have to be in here live. What the hell are they talking about, man? If something happened like, God forbid, America was attacked by China or Russia or the Martians or something, or if we had a volcano erupt in downtown New York or something, you think that I'm going to be the main go-to news guy? They're going to cut in with some national news service. So there's these days in the radio world, if radio really wants to save itself, we don't even have to do a live show. We got to be in here doing this pre-tape so that I can get all this stuff worked out and not have to deal with it, because it's driving me nuts, man. It's driving me out of my mind, okay? I want to get this stuff working so that we can do a live radio show as opposed to me having to screw around with this stuff. And if you think I'm kidding, I'm not. You know, there's too many guys making too much money in the digital realm right now, myself at the very top of the list. And then you can talk about our good friend Steve Dahl and that Lycus and, of course, Howard. But we're all making livings apart from this Titanic that we're on. And if I'm being too cruel and if I'm being too harsh, and let me tell you something, man. Myself and a whole lot of people have got it coming. We've had it coming for a long time. We've wanted to make these statements for a long time when people could actually listen and actually do something about it. Now it's too late, man. So anyway, let me...
Well, thank you for bumming everybody out with your diatribe.
Yeah, Phil, you can't do that.
I'm doing it. All right, Bud, what?
Well, you want to go back to the grim or get...
Yeah, get back to being grim.
No, we're not talking... Yes, I want you to talk about this Representative Michael Grimm, okay?
Yeah, well, Michael Grimm said he's going to break this guy in half like a boy, and he's going to throw him off a balcony, and then he said, I doubt that I'm the first member of Congress to tell a reporter that he's going to break him in half and drop him off to the roof.
Well, he probably isn't the first member of Congress to say that.
Right, but did get R.C. Collins lined up with opinion on that, because this guy, Michael Grimm, is a former Marine Corps. He's a former of the Marine Corps.
R.C. Collins joining us from Bradley Military Academy. R.C., you have been in touch with Bud about this today?
Yes, sir, I have, and I'm very, very proud to be the commentator on it.
Okay, what do you got?
Well, I feel that Representative Grimm, even though he was in technically, should have been technically okay to be asked the question about technically what... Hold on for a minute. I feel that Representative Grimm, even though technically he should have been asked it about the question, I think that Representative Grimm was not treated good because he was being asked it about it after the Obama speech, and that's what they was going to ask him about.
Yeah, so when they said that they was going to ask him about Obama, and then he asked about the campaign irregularity.
Well, the guy who asked him the question about a campaign irregularity was that guy named Michael Scudo, and he works for New York Channel 1.
Yeah, that's the New York Channel 1 affiliate. And so should he have asked it about it or not?
Well, I mean, there's two schools of thought on it. You can ask a guy about it, I mean, and say, you know I was going to ask you about President Obama, but I do want to ask you about another thing. Is it okay to do it? And then the guy can say, yeah, maybe it is and maybe it's not. And he didn't do that.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm thinking about, too.
Okay, RC, question, all right?
Yes, sir.
Hold on for a minute. I just got one more. Mr. Henry wants to ask you a question.
Yes, yeah, okay, go ahead, Mr. Henry.
What?
Yeah, okay, I want to ask you, RC... Given the fact that there was this misunderstanding or the feeling by the representative that he should not have been asked this question since initially he was approached on the State of the Union, don't you think he at least has a point in objecting to this reporter?
Well, he may have a point, Mr. Henry, but as a member of the United States military, which I am technically because I'm at a military academy, And Representative Grimm, he was in the Marines and everything, so I feel I can comment on it. And I do think that I'm going to comment on it, too.
Okay, what's your comment?
Well, I mean, I think that he should have not said he's going to throw a guy into the street.
Okay, he didn't say that, but...
Well...
That doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're right. He didn't, but he didn't say that. He said he was going to throw the guy. I think there it does matter because one act is decidedly harsher than the other.
Well, I can't comment on that, Mr. Henry. I did hear him say, I'm going to throw this place into the street, or I'm going to throw you and this place into the street.
You heard that?
That's what I heard Bud say, that he heard that it.
What'd you hear, Bud?
I heard that he said he'd throw the guy and the place into the street or off the balcony.
Phil, it's your show. You better get your hands on. If I were you, I'd strangle him.
Hey, watch it.
You're screwing it up, Bud.
Well, I mean, am I still on the air?
Yeah, you're on the air. All right, so the quote was he's going to throw the guy off the balcony or break him in half. The reason why I think it's important to get the quote right is because throwing this place into the street sounds rather generic. It sounds like just sort of a general fist fight is going to break out, as opposed to saying, I'm going to break you in half and throw you off the balcony. It sounds like a unilateral attempt at severely injuring someone by tossing them from a height, okay?
I think so, Mr. Henry, but I think now you're just getting bogged down in the chicken crap, you know?
Yeah, that's what we're saying, getting bogged down in the chicken crap.
Yeah, I'm getting bogged down in the chicken crap because you guys can't get the quotes right, okay?
Well, I still think you're getting bogged down in the chicken crap.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much for your opinion, R.C. Great talking to you.
Uh-huh.
R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. What was the relevance of that?
On account of he's in a military academy... And that guy, Michael Grimm, was in the Marines.
Oh, I see. So he's commenting on a fellow military guy, as if a kid in a military academy has anything in common with a Marine.
Well, but I mean the decorum.
I mean, we have General Shaw here. Can't we ask him?
Well, you could ask me, Phil, but I think it's also wise to get an external or a third-party opinion, given the fact that I'm a part of your panel.
Okay, I mean,
don't look at me, and don't look at me like I'm growing another head. Please, you understand what I say?
Yes, sir, I'm understanding you. I just mumbled it, but you do agree that the representative was out of line?
I think the representative was way out of line. I don't care if they would have asked him, do you like to wear women's underwear? and paraded around in front of other guys on Super Bowl Sunday. It wouldn't matter at all. He still should not have threatened the man.
And what if they'd asked you that?
Well, then I would have, yes, I would have threatened the man with decapitation. But that's as a general and as a gentleman.
Decapitation?
Hold on. Phil Henry Show will be right back with more here as we talk about the interesting story involving Representative Grimm. Decapitation.
As a gentleman and an officer, that is my option. Yes, sir.
Wow. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, back right after this. Famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and welcome back here along with Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, and General Galen Shaw. Yes, Bud?
Kind of so, hey, baby, you'll take a chance. I left my rubber in there.
Would you tell him to shut up?
What are you doing, Bud?
I've got my hand over his mouth. If you...
What are you doing, Bud?
Hold still, Bud.
Turn the music off. What do you think you're trying to pull here, anyway?
I heard what he said, Phil, and I was disgusted.
Yes, I did, too. And thank you, General, for restraining him.
All right, General, you can let him go, okay? Do you understand you're on the radio right now?
Yeah, so? You're doing it.
I don't want that on the air.
All right. And what he said, can I repeat it?
Well, then it's not much use.
Go ahead. I want people to hear this in the context that the General gives it.
He was giving a vulgar read on the rock and roll song that was being played. The vulgarity of the read is what I'm most interested in.
What did he say?
Hey, baby, won't you take a chance?
Let me do it at least. You have him doing my act. He's doing my act. At least let me do my act.
Oh, okay, Lenny Bruce. Go ahead.
I said, hey, baby, if you take a chance. Well, wait a minute. Where's the song? It goes like this. And then you can do it, right?
Well, what are you doing, man?
Phil's trying to make a mockery of a very great rock and roll song, and I won't have it, I tell you. I won't have it.
What? Yeah, I won't have it.
My voice cracked. I'm so...
Yeah, okay, here. Okay, watch.
Phil, don't let him do it. The vulgarity is what I'm most concerned with.
Hey, baby, won't you take a chance?
Hey, I left my rubber in the other pant.
I've got my hand on it, Phil.
All right, turn it off. The General put his hand over your mouth because that's what I didn't want to hear. The what? Oh, it's like that, huh?
I just heard him call... Well, you... Take it back. Take it back, Dickman.
Did you hear what he called you, Phil?
Yeah, I did. Want to say it again, huh?
Why, you dirty... Take it back, you scum sucker.
No.
Why, the kid boy, he's tougher than I thought.
All right, let him go.
He can't hurt me.
May I chase him?
Go on, go get him.
Get away from me.
All right.
Boy, that was weird. That kid is weird. That kid's all kinds of weird. That kid is every flavor of weird. And you've got to get him under control, Phil, or I will.
Don't do that, General. I've got the kid under control. Don't worry about it, okay?
Woo!
What was that?
He pulled my skirt up.
All right, this is the Phil Henry Show. We are...
I want to say one thing here. First of all, before I go back, I kicked him out of the studio and I locked the door, so he's out on the street. He's smoking a cigar and thinking he's all so smart. But what I wanted to say, Phil, was I thought there was a great song from a very interesting performer named Chris Montez, and he did a song, "Back When I Was a Younger Woman, I Stripped." And I don't think I've made a secret of that, have I?
Well, I don't think you've mentioned that before on the air.
Well, then I made a mistake. I thought I did.
No, Margaret, I've not heard you say that. Robert?
No, ma'am, you didn't say anything about it.
All right, well, I'm saying it now. Back when I was a younger woman, I was a pretty popular stripper at a club in Pasadena, California, called the High Life Social Club. Now, I was there just as soon as I got to Hollywood. So I was doing my auditions. I was doing my due diligence, going on my auditions and meeting the producers and so forth. But certainly a girl has to make a living. And I got this job, and they used to call me Jicky. And there was another guy that danced there named Bob. Actually, it was a girl, but she looked like a guy. And we did Jicky and Bob's love dance, Bottomless. Now,
okay, that's fine. What's the point?
Well, the point is I did The More I See You, do-do-do-do-do, The More I Love You. See, that was my song, you know.
And this was called Jicky and Bob's Love Dance.
Yes, it was, and I don't like the smirk on your face.
Well, you must admit, Margaret, the whole thing sounds Jack... It sounds Jackassery.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me.
Jackassery, huh?
That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, Margaret, I mean... it probably was a lot nicer than you're describing it. You're making it sound a little silly.
How am I making it sound?
Well, what do you mean you're dancing with a girl and her name was Bob, but she looked like a guy?
She was butch, okay?
All right, well, then say it. You know, it sounded to me like you're dancing with a hermaphrodite or something.
First of all, the incidence of hermaphrodites in nature, in life, very rare. Secondly, yes, she was.
Oh, she was?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, don't tell me you're going to suddenly grow silent, General, and start pondering that.
Well, I was... No, that's ridiculous. I'm not some kind of a freak, so don't worry about it. But I am fascinated with the...
All right, get it off this topic right now before I throw up, okay?
So the idea of me nude makes you want to throw up?
No, the idea of you dancing with a you-know-what. And I don't mean to be cruel, but can we just not talk about this, okay? So you were a stripper, you Jicky and Bob's love dance, whatever, and you sang and you danced to this song?
No, I didn't dance. What, to Let's Dance?
Yeah.
No, I danced to another Chris Montez song, The More I See You.
Yeah, I remember that song. My mom used to like that song a lot.
The More I See, I know that song.
Yes, it was The More I See You, you know. And it was, I had a great, great act. Do you have that, Robert?
Yeah, I'll do about 5 seconds of it right here. Here it is, here. And
so it goes. Oh, I love it. Look, here we go. Do the more I look at it. Yeah. And it gets bit, well, I can't sing it here, but the more I look at it.
So you turn this song into a piece of pornography too, huh?
You're really judgmental, aren't you, Phil?
Yeah, that's me.
Only one for me. Do-do-do, and then I did a little dip. I did the cat crawl. I did the full layout.
What is the full layout?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah. All right, thank you very much, Margaret. It's not...
La, la. Da, da, dee, dee.
By the way, Margaret sang in the show the other night. Margaret, I think it went over very well.
I was a hit. You might as well just tell everyone listening. I was a smash hit at Phil's One Man there in San Francisco at the Eureka Theater. And I opened with the song that I did here, which was...
I Wish You Love.
I Wish You Love. Leafy Glade, Leafy Glade.
Yeah, well, I'll never understand that, but it did go over very well with the... with the audience. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. So I think we've covered the Grimm story, right, Bud?
Yeah, covered that pretty good, even though Bud kind of carved it up, you know.
Well, Bud didn't carve anything up. The basic story, what do you mean, Bud? You mean...
I mean R.C.
Wow.
You don't even know who you are. You've lost your whole sense of yourself. Boy, that's sad.
Well, I know who I am, but... I don't want to know who you is.
Will you guys start using some proper grammar around here?
I think it's embarrassing. And when I have friends of mine listening to the show and they go, you're on that? And I said, yes, the Phil Henry Show. They cluck their tongues, shake their heads. I can almost see a tear forming.
All right, Margaret, it can't be that bad. And I don't have time to deal with an emotional problem.
Well, it is.
I don't have time to deal with it right now, okay? God, man.
Margaret, go have yourself. Go suck on a white owl.
Yeah, you'd like to watch that, too, wouldn't you?
Maybe I would.
So there goes the general.
Yeah.
You know something? Everybody walking out of the studio without getting permission, it's really something, you know?
Well, generally, I mean, what do you want to do? He's going to watch you do the show or watch Margaret suck out of White Owl? I don't think there's any doubt what the choice is.
Talk about a cigar?
No, a White Owl.
Will you shut up before I kick your... Are you talking about the cigar? No, a White Owl. So this guy, Grimm, apparently with some campaign irregularities, and the problem was, and continues to be, the fact that it was just this threat. Now, here it is, if I may be so bold as to play it for you on air.
I'm Beth, and I'm Michelle. Anything we purchase...
All right, so that's Representative Grimm sounding like a chick and doing a credit card commercial. And then he found himself and decided, oh, wait a minute, I'm not her. I'm actually me. I'm a former Marine, and I'm a United States congressperson. And here it went.
Staten Island Congressman Michael Grimm tonight admits he was out of line for threatening to physically attack a local reporter.
CBS News' Dick Brennan has more now on the congressman's outburst. And
oh, look at how serious she is.
Apology today, Dick.
Yes, the about face today, Christine. Well, Congressman Grimm was being interviewed by New York One reporter Michael Scotto after the State of the Union address, but Scotto tried to get in a question about a federal probe of Grimm's 2010 campaign.
How serious these people take themselves.
Grimm apparently did not like that.
And just finally, before we let you go, since we have you here, we haven't had a chance to kind of talk about some of the...
I'm not speaking about anything that's off topic. This is only about the president.
Well, what about...
Thank you.
All right, so Congressman Michael Grimm does not want to talk about some of the allegations concerning his campaign finances. We wanted to get him on camera on that, but he, as you saw, refused to talk about that. Back to you.
But then Grimm comes back.
Why?
Let me be clear to you. You have to do that to me again.
I'll throw you off this stuff.
I just wanted to ask you.
So basically, you can't hear it, you know.
Well, listen, Phil.
You can't hear it, but basically what he said was that if you ask me that question again, I'll throw you off this balcony. And then he said, if you ask me that, and the kid said, no, it's a valid question. Why can't I ask it? He said, if you ask me that question again, I'll break you in half like a boy. So
that's the sort of suspect. I'll break you in half like a boy. It's very gay. There's hints of the gay culture.
Oh, knock it off. He was obviously just being a bully, whether the gay culture.
Well, what about the boy?
Never mind the boy. It's what it is. It's a threat, and it was quite a crude threat indeed. I think we have to break, don't we, Nikki?
If yes, I'm not, sir.
Okay, we're going to take a break here. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com with other political news. We're going to go back over President Obama's speech. We have Charlie LaFountain, who will join us. He was on our first hour, and he's going to come back in our second hour to sort of recap some of his thoughts and this ridiculous, in my opinion, ridiculous notion that somehow the president can be sued for using executive action or for using these executive decisions as much as he has. It's a pretty interesting concept. I don't think that, you know what, man? I don't think it's anything they're going to get away with, but we'll see. Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and tune in. You can listen to the show for free on the Phil Hendry Channel at 7 Pacific. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is our Vice President of Syndication, David G. Hall, who I'm sure has got something to, some riot act you want to read me. David, what's up?
Well, no, I'm not trying to read you the riot act. I just want you to know that the comments that you make are heard, and this comment that the money being invested by the big companies in conservative talk radio, I mean, I'm the guy that's got to go out there, Phil, and try to pitch your show.
I understand that. I know that.
All right. And so when I go out and try to pitch the show, and a guy says to me, I just heard Hendry on the air talking about the money that Clear Channel and Cumulus throws away on conservative broadcasting.
Look, if you're involved in a situation where people are going to punish you for things I'm saying, what do you want me to do, you know?
Just don't talk about it.
Just don't talk about it. Just don't talk about the fact that those companies have invested in conservative radio that nobody listens to anymore.
What do you mean nobody listens to it anymore?
You know, the KFI bumped Rush Limbaugh off of their signal to KTLK. You want to know why? Because they're losing their ass. Their ratings are going down. even with Rush.
You realize what you've just done. You just made Rush Limbaugh a target. You realize what you've done.
Yes, I realize what I've done, and I'm not saying anything that I'm not trying to knock Rush. I'm knocking the industry. But more to the point, you know, if they want to continue to invest in radio shows that people are gradually moving away from, they can do that, man. But don't tell me that I don't have a right to talk about it, especially when, because of that, shows like mine and other people are trying to do something other than conservative talk, which is the absolute just stagnating ruin of talk radio. I'm going to go into the digital world, and I can't talk about that?
Well, I'm just saying, to the extent that I'm trying to get you placed on these radio stations, you know.
Placed on a radio station? I'm on a radio station, right? I'm not going to mention the station, but one of the stations you just placed me on, I'm surrounded by Hannity, Limbaugh, Beck. I'm surrounded by right-wing guys, okay? And I'm trying to do a humorous satire of a show. Now, what chance have I got?
Well, don't you think people would want a break from all of that?
No, apparently not. Apparently you can't get enough conservative radio, man. A break from it? Let me tell you, man, as I've said before, it's like selling a jet ski in a building filled with Corvettes. What's the point, man? I mean, I might be a fantastic jet ski, but everybody who walks in there wants a Corvette.
Yeah, but you're a fantastic jet ski.
Great. That's great. Maybe people will take me out for a test drive, you know. Ultimately, though, the guy's going to say, hey, why don't we just put a Corvette there? It's okay. You can do whatever the hell you want to do, but the die is cast. It's a fait accompli. There's only one place that, in my opinion, left, and that is satellite radio, and I'm not even really sure that that's the answer. I think the bottom line here is talking directly to my audience, contacting my audience directly, either by way of the internet or a smartphone, delivering our audio to whatever platform that they are at. And people are not at the radio like we think they are, okay? So,
well, I just heard you say something that you're gonna rip the phones out of the wall.
Yeah, I'm gonna rip the phones out of the wall because this is on-demand listening now, man. People don't even listen live anymore. And as far as the idea of people using talk radio as the last campfire or whatever that bullcrap was they used to sell.
They used to say that talk radio was the last neighborhood.
Oh, isn't that nice? Well, it ain't anymore, man, because people are using Facebook. There's the last neighborhood. Facebook and Twitter. Okay, so when I talk about my very good friend Mark Maron doing a podcast that makes a lot of money, he's on the front page of the New York Times, he's got himself a TV show, that cat ain't live. You understand what I'm saying? He's not doing a live show. He's doing a pre-recorded podcast. And he's more successful than any radio show I can think of, with the exception maybe of those, the real big guns like Rush.
But what kind of money do you think that guy's making?
Put together the TV show that he's doing. The advertising that he does not have to split up with salesmen, the advertising that he doesn't have to split up with a radio station or a broadcast group, that all that money goes directly to him, I think he's probably making a pretty good piece of change. We already know what Adam Carolla's making. Adam's making close to $1 million a year. There isn't one guy in... There's the rank and file in radio now doesn't make any kind of money like that. Maybe a handful of guys make money like that. And there's Adam making close to $1 million with a podcast. Do I have to be, how long do I got to talk to you about this before you wake up?
Bill, I'm a radio guy through and through, okay? I'm a radio guy through and through, and as long as I can reach over and turn the knob, well, I'm...
You talking about radio?
I wasn't talking about radio there, but what I mean, as long as I can reach over...
Thank you very much.
What was he saying?
He wanted to get into reaching over and grabbing a knob.
Yeah, good God, man.
Never mind. All right. Thank you very much, David G. Hall. That's fantastic. Man.
Are you? Yeah, who is this man, Carolla?
Adam Carolla is a guy that the radio brains at CBS, because they're so geniuses over there, you know, they're so smart. He's a guy that got fired by CBS. When Howard left and went over to Sirius, CBS had a big hole in morning drive, and they didn't know what to do. Oh, what shall we do? For a while, they had Adam on, and they had David Lee Roth in New York, I think, and they let both of those guys go because they're brain surgeons at CBS when it comes to radio, not. So what happened was Adam starts doing this podcast, and the next thing you know, the guy's pulling down some very serious advertising money, and he's more successful financially with the podcast than he ever was on the radio show. And what is radio's response? These morons pretend like it never happened. They pretend like, well, no, 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 we made the right choice. We made the right move. See? So, you know, what they're saying is we gave up all this money. We just went ahead and shooed all this money out the door. We made the right decision, and we're doing just so fantastic. I think the idea of radio for a big company like CBS, the idea of radio is it's a bother. It's they don't understand it. They don't want to do it. They can't figure it out. They know there's some money there, but you know what? Why bother? We've got television. And it irritates them because there's not one of them there that's got brains, the brains of a decapitated fly to figure out how to actually program a radio show. So they just, or program a station for that matter. So they just pretend like it's not important. That's one way you do it. Or the other way, there's the Clear Channel and the Cumulus way, which is to, we're not interested in that kind of thing. We want to do conservative, right? So they put all their money into Beck and to, it doesn't matter. It's Clear Cumulus or Cumulus Channel. You can call it anything you want. They put all their money into Beck. They put all their money into Rush, into Sean, and all these right-wing guys. And whether or not they have to beg, borrow, and steal the ad money, if they have to lie their way to a profit, they're going to do it. Whether or not they have listeners, they're going to do it. They're going to get their money's worth out of those guys if they drive every listener away from the radio in the process. They will make sure they squeeze that dollar out of the advertiser.
Thinking about
well, that's not even honest.
Thing you can live with.
Yay. If you said that in a board meeting there of either one of those companies, you'd get applause. All right, world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com online at philhenryshow.com with our video casts. We also have our TuneIn show there on TuneIn. All you got to do, man, is, dial us up live at 7 p.m. 5, and hit that 4, online store, too, for 3, Phil Henry stuff.
2, and you don't know!